ask this in your mighty name. Amen. So who am I? I'm the daughter of Peter and Anne. I'm the sister of Kate, Tom, Polly and Ben. I'm the auntie of Harry, Susanna, Elsa, Toby, Finn and Ned. I'm the niece of various people, the cousin of way too many to mention, and the girlfriend of Paul. I'm also the friend of many wonderful people. But first and foremost, who am I? I'm a child of God. When God made me, he didn't make a mistake. When he made every single one of you, he didn't make a mistake. God doesn't do rubbish. He only does good. So each one of you here, these wonderful little babies who are welcoming today, Felix and Ella J, you're all absolutely wanted. You were all wanted before the beginning of time. And that's an amazing thought. That's absolutely amazing thought, because God created us to be a family. From the outset, God created me to be part of a family. He didn't create me on my own. John Donne, the 17th century poet, said, "No man is an island entire of itself. He said, "I am involved in mankind." None of us just appeared in isolation on Earth. I don't know about you, but I don't think I emerged out of protozoic slime. And I certainly wasn't found under a gooseberry bush, because my dad personally delivered me. We were the result of a loving father wanting to make each one of us in his own image. And that father is God. Our physical bodies are the result of our parents hopefully loving and desiring each other, so that we were knitted together in our mother's womb. Our spiritual bodies are the result of God choosing us before the foundation of the world, as it says in Ephesians 1:4. This is a really wild idea, because basically it means that each and every one of us was made at the same time. Our spirits were created at the foundations of the earth. So even though my dad's in his 80s and I'm over 40, he's actually the same age as me in his spirit. But physically, we're not. So although my dad is my dad, he is also my brother in Christ. When my brother Ben was just 18 months old, my mother was putting him to bed, and he looked up at her and he said, "The universe is lonely." In so many ways, he was right. God created us to be in relationship, not to be independent and on our own, but to be interdependent and asking him and helping one another. God looked round at the universe he created and said it was good, but there was no one to look after it. Actually, on the planet Earth itself, there was no one here. There was no one else God could talk to, apart from himself, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So yes, God, the creator of the universe, probably was lonely, as my little brother said. He wanted to share the most beautiful things he had created with someone who thought what he'd made was rather special. A bit like when one of your little ones does something or makes something and wants you to say, "Wow, darling, that's absolutely amazing." Again, my brother Ben, on his first day at school, jotted something on a piece of paper and presented it to the teacher, saying, "How about a star?" He'd learned from us, his older siblings, that you could get stars at school for doing good bits of work. And let's face it, who amongst us doesn't want to be blessed? Who amongst us doesn't want encouragement and approval? God made us to be his children, but he also made us to be his friends. So after God made everything in the universe and on the earth, all the stars, the moon, the sun, the seas, the land, and all the plants and animals, he said it was good. However, when he made man, he sat back and said it was very good. So in Genesis 2:7, God made man out of the dust and of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. In verse 15, it says, God put man into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He wanted us to look after this amazing planet. So why do we give our children toys like zoos and farms? And even on Facebook, adults give each other the odd giraffe or orangutan for their zoo, or a piece of fencing or a tractor for their farm. Why do we garden? Why do we care for old buildings? Why do we have pets? And why do we look after each other? We do it because it is in our nature to care, to keep, to tend, and to dress. Because it is the nature of God to do the same, and we're his kids made in his image. In Genesis 2:18, God goes on to say, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate." So again, God is showing us he wants us to be in relationship with him and with each other. Through every book of the Bible, God repeats his message that he created us to be together in community. All the stories are about people and God's response to them and their response to God. All Jesus' parables revolve around our relationship with each other and our attitudes. This doesn't just mean our immediate family, because in fact Scripture says the greatest expression of true relationship with God is to care for the orphan, the stranger, and the widow in our midst, those in need. Jesus himself asked those around him who they thought were his mother, his brothers, and his sisters, because as far as he was concerned, we are all one big family and should treat each other as such. We are his hands and his feet on this earth, able to bless, encourage, support, and uphold each other through life. He asks us to meet him in the middle. It says in Psalm 8 that God valued us so much that he says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you have visited him? You have made him," that's us, "a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor." That's our inheritance as children of God. But our responsibility is our response to God's ability to enable things to happen. Miracles can only happen if we take that first step towards God and towards each other. He wants us to be in relationship with him, with others, and with ourselves, which is why the two most important commandments are love God and love your neighbors as yourselves. This is why prayer is a critical part of our relationship with God, because we are acknowledging that we cannot do this single-handed. We need God's help. We need his divine intervention into things that we humanly have exhausted. So our scripture today is all about just that, being in relationship with God and each other, praying, asking for, and expecting his help, because he has promised to help us. He has promised that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is with us until the end of time itself. So the scripture says when we knock. So where do I knock when I want to come in? When I was little, I had the privilege of being brought up in a very old house with a big garden with lots of outbuildings and a stream and lots of trees. And it was a lovely place to be a small child in some ways, but I'll get to the other bits later. I remember some German students knocking on the door and asking if they could sleep in our garden or barn as they were backpacking. Instead, my dad invited them into the house. He fed them, gave them board and lodging, and my parents took them in and around the local sites for a couple of days. They were strangers, but they received hospitality. I remember people from all over the world coming to stay. It taught me a lot about the heart of God for each of us. He wants us to knock, because when we knock, he can open the door and he can give us his hospitality. He can give us a place where we can receive care and rest. Jesus described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. If we accept him and his way, we can come in and receive the hospitality of the Father. His desire is that none of us should be lost to him. He loves us all equally. And I urge you now to pray for your friends and families, that they come to know the love of God in their lives, because it is a place of great joy. Knock on the doors of heaven for them. So who do I find when I seek? The old house I lived in is very old indeed. It's 16th century, but it's got lots of nooks and crannies. So it was the ideal place as a child to play hide and seek. When you play hide and seek, if you are it, you are seeking those who are hidden. You have an expectation you will find them. Otherwise, the game is frustrating and you give up. Once you find one person, they generally help you to find the next person. And so it becomes a team effort until everyone is found. For the last person in hiding, it can be a joyous and exciting experience as you hear others scampering towards you to claim their final prize. I imagine God feels like this. He is the ultimate it. After all, he says of himself, I am who I am. He must have that delightful anticipation of coming to find us, but also sometimes the disappointment that we are so well hidden, we do not want to be found. We come near, but we don't actually make contact with him. However, God never tires of the game. He will never, ever give up looking for us. I hid a lot when I was little, not just because of the game hide and seek and having the ideal house to do it in, but because I was very, very, very shy as a child, which a lot of people now find very difficult to believe. But I was very shy, and I was frightened of a lot of things because the house was haunted, unfortunately. I was frightened of people shouting. I was frightened of things moving around. I was frightened of being teased and of my fears not being taken seriously by my older siblings. The fear I had, unfortunately, led me into having really bad asthma. I had chronic asthma for a very long time. And I also got into a habit of hiding and didn't allow myself to be truly the person God created me to be. Eventually, I got exhausted by being frightened. It's very hard work being scared all the time. It's physically exhausting. And after having a really bad asthma attack, I unfortunately had a heart attack when I was in my 20s. And then later, I asked Jesus to come and find me, and he did. He showed me that in him, I had nothing to fear. And I have systematically, over the last few years, prayed and repented of the fear and asked God to show me what the fear was. And as we've worked through it together, he's healed me, and I no longer have asthma. I get the occasional wheeziness, and I know it's because I'm anxious. But I know that I can take this to God, because he tells us, be anxious for nothing. So I repent of fear and lack of faith, and then it goes away. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all I can say is when we do finally let ourselves be found by him, the joy and the relief that we are reunited with him is amazing. He wants us to know him. He constantly wants us to find him. But at the same time, he's giving us the free will choice to not take part in the game. He constantly gives us an inkling that he is there. He pursues us with his love. So all we have to do is accept him and then ask others to join with us in the great game of finding those who are lost or hiding. So I encourage you, if you are still hiding under the table, in the cupboard, behind the curtain, come out and take part in the best adventure you'll ever have with Jesus as your it. So who do I ask when I have a need? Well, coming from a big family, as a small child, I would ask my siblings and my parents and my wider friends for things. And being a child, you naturally expect that when you ask, that you get an answer. Not necessarily the answer you want, but you get an answer. And we have that expectation that when we ask, we'll get an answer. So we need to have that childlike expectation of God, that he does hear us and he does answer, even if he answers in a different way from the way we expected. When Paul, my boyfriend, was taking his children to church a few months ago, they were worried that they might not know other kids in Paul's church. So he suggested that they pray and ask God to send some friends along. By the end of the service, they had both connected with some other kids there. So God answered that need, and it built their expectation that God does know what they need, and he does answer because he does care. Sometimes we need to ask others to come alongside us and pray. I often pray with my dad or with really good friends. And with Paul and I, we try and read the Bible and pray every morning on Skype because we see how God answers prayer and he gives directions to all those who seek him. I know my dad, who's in his 80s, prays for each of his 5 children, their spouses and children every day. What a blessing that is to me and to my siblings' families. I saw the results of my father's prayers of protection for me very clearly 2 weeks ago. I had a really bad car crash and hit the central reservation of the A27 head on. My car spun round and put me on the hard shoulder facing the right way. It was truly frightening. My car has been written off, but praise God, I came away with just a few bruises. And I know that's because of prayerful family, people praying for me, people love me. And that's what it's all about, guys. It's all about praying for each other, encouraging each other. Praying for others is laid down throughout Scripture. And in 2 Timothy 1, St. Paul describes his love for Timothy, who he sees as a son. And he thanks God for Timothy having an amazing spiritual inheritance, having Lois and Eunice as his prayerful grandmother and mother. So I urge you to talk to God for your family and friends. See the fruitfulness of God and work of God at work itself out in their lives. You don't have to do long, drawn-out prayers. When someone just comes into your mind, whether you're washing up, whatever you're doing, just pray for them. You know, whether it's a word of, you know, just to pray for their protection, that they know the joy of God, that they know financial provision, that they receive healing. It's not complicated. It's that simple. It's just a conversation with God. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will show you in your prayers because he knows the needs of the person you're praying for and has brought to your mind. Each of us here has the most amazing authority in the name of Jesus. In Scripture, it is described as the name above all other names. We can pray for our family and the family of God. Also, God has given us his Holy Spirit to point us towards God and to comfort and convict us. So I encourage you to ask because it will be given to you, to seek because you will find, and to knock so that the door may be opened unto you. Amen.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Great to imagine ourselves playing a divine game of hide and seek with the Lord. The Lord seeking us. We hear in Luke's Gospel of the Lord being like a shepherd looking for lost sheep. And then we are invited to seek the Lord as well. And maybe a few of us here today are seeking the Lord on particular things. I'm going to invite Jamie and the band to come and lead us in the last song. Shall we stand together?